But now, last week we talked about resolutions and we talked about resolve. This was the first of the year. And we talked about, like I said, revolution and resolve. A resolution is a firm decision to do or to not do something. And then the resolve is a specific course or a specific plan with regards to that resolution. Now this week, we're going to kind of go along those same lines. And the title of my sermon this week is a resolution, a plan to do or not do something, with resolve, having a plan, a course of action, and then taking action. So resolve, a resolution, to resolve to action. We can talk about resolutions. We can talk about plans. We can talk about those things until the sun comes, and they're fun to talk about. Making plans. Let's write it down. People talk about writing down their goals, and you're more likely to complete them if you actually write them down, which is probably true. But we can write down our resolutions. We can write down our plan of action with regards to those resolutions. But if we don't take action, what good are they? You sounded good when you said them, or I sounded good when I said them, but they don't produce anything. We're going to look at James or Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 11, familiar verse. But as I read it, I see a lot of things in that. And we can take this passage and we'll look at it at a later date and we'll break it down even more. Because there's a lot to be learned in this passage here. We're going to look at Ephesians 4, starting with chapter or verse 11, going through verse 16. And it says, He himself, God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, all that fivefold ministry there, they were placed by God to do two things. And that was to equip the people for the work of the ministry and to encourage the people. I don't believe, sometimes I've been accused of, boy, you sound like you're mad when you're preaching. No, I'm not mad. I'm just excited. So, but I believe that if preparing people to do the work of the ministry is not something a pastor is doing, and if a pastor is not encouraging people in the ministry, then he's not fulfilling what God placed him in that ministry to do. Now, I will say this also. If the pastor is equipping people for the work of the ministry, and he is encouraging people in the body of Christ, then that implies that the people that he's equipping should not remain idle in their Christian walk. What do I mean by idle? The engine's running, and you're just sitting there. You're not doing it. You're not going anywhere. You haven't put it in gear. So if you're in the car, the engine's running because you've been taught, it's up to you to take and put that car from park to drive. It's up to you to do something. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't care whether you're 2 or 102. God has work for each of you to do. We should never think that we're to remain idle. We should never think that the work that God has put me out here on the earth to do is to go home and sit in my recliner and just study the Word. Study the Word. We should study the Word. The Bible talks about keeping it in front of your face. We should study the Word. But eventually, you got to act on the Word. You got to do what the Word says. He's called us to be ambassadors for the gospel. And if we're ambassadors, we don't sit back in the United States and be an ambassador for Israel, China, name a country. We don't sit in the United States and be an ambassador. We go there. And we represent the interests of the one who sent us. So if he's called us to be ambassadors, which he has in 1 Corinthians 5, I think it is, he's called us to be ambassadors, then we're to go into all the world and do what he's told us to do. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. If you're a believer, that's what you've been called to do. That's what you've been equipped to do, is to go in the world and preach the gospel. You've been called to go into all the world and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You've been called to go into all the world and cast out demons. Ooh. That's what the Bible says in Mark 16, 15 through 20. It tells us that as a believer, you're to preach the gospel, speak with other tongues, you're to cast out demons, and you're to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Well, we're not God. I know you're not. But he also told us in John 14, 12, that the things he did will do also, and even greater things, because he goes to be with the Father. Well, what did Jesus do while he was here on the earth? He laid hands on the sick. He spit in mud and rubbed it on their... He did do those. I don't encourage that. Spitting on mud and rubbing in people's... Anyway. But he did those things. He laid hands on the sick. He spoke to dead people and told them to rise, to come out of the tomb. Those are the things he did. Well, Rick, that sounds crazy. That sounds radical. That sounds unbelievable. Well, it's what the Bible says. And if we believe the Bible, then we're not to remain in an idle position. If you're being equipped for the work of the ministry, put it in gear. And just as far as sharing Jesus with somebody, you don't have to know 15 different Bible verses. Tell him what he did for you and how he brought you up and how he brought you out. That's where you start. Man, I love finding people. And my motivation when I see new people, especially people that I don't know, and I might get an opportunity to talk to them, kind of get the gospel in to our conversation. Lord, show me what angle. Show me an angle to get the gospel into the conversation. And you know what? Most of the time, the people bring it up themselves. And it's easy at that point. But it says here, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man. So we're studying the Word. We all should be studying the Word. We're being taught the Word. We're being shown what we should do through the Word. And then we actually go out and do the Word. And it brings us to a level to where we get to become mature in the things of God. It says here in the next part of this here, a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We should strive to be like Jesus. We should strive to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus was not idle for the 3.5 years or whatever, however some people want to say it, that he was doing ministry on his earth. He traveled. He wore out some sandals. He used a lot of bars of soap cleaning those feet. He didn't sit idle. He was on the move. He was about the Father's business. And so we should never get comfortable sitting in a church pew or sitting in our home just studying the Word. We should be about the Father's business. Well, the Father's business is studying the Word. The Father's business is praying to Him, developing a relationship with Him. But the Father's business is doing what He's told you to do. And well, what has He told me to do? Read the Word. That's what He's told you to do. He says in His Word, go and do. I mean, we talk about Abraham. God tells him, go to a land that I'll show you. How would you like to pack up everything you own? Cattle, and just start, okay, go that way. All right. And just keep walking until he tells you to stop. I like more direction than that. And personally, I like direction. But I'll do it. I'll share that later. But it says in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried around about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. If you're being taught the Word, if you're being encouraged in the Word, and you're acting upon the Word, chances are you're not going to be deceived. Because people will try to come. People will come to you years ago, back in the 80s. You had some guys on TV. If you'll just give $1,000 today, you send it to my ministry today, and I guarantee you God will give you $1,000,000 in the next 2 weeks. That sounds crazy. Well, people said that. People were doing that. If you're established, if you're being taught, you're being encouraged, and you're acting upon the Word, you won't fall for that. You won't give in to that because you're going to become more mature in the things of God. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. The whole body, joined and knit together. We are all a joint in the body of Christ. Some of us might be an elbow. Some of us might be the little toe, you know. But we are all a joint. And you know what? All those joints work together. All those joints are a part of one another. It says here, knit together by what every joint supplies. You each have a supply. You each have something to bring to the table. And we need to bring what it is that we have on the inside of us, that God has placed on the inside of us, bring it to the table so that the whole body works together, works effectively. When you've got a bum foot, the rest of the body compensates for it. But you're kind of walking like this. You're not working effectively. Every part needs to be working effectively. And I tell you what, it's up to the pastor to start it off. To teach people for the work of the ministry and to encourage them. That's one thing that Carrie and I have endeavored to do, is when we hear of things, or even if we don't hear of things about different people of the church here, we're still calling them. Hey, how's it going? I want to encourage you. Send a text message, whatever it may be. You call me, you text me. I don't look at it and say, I'll call them back in an hour. I usually pick up right away. If you text me, I usually text within 30 seconds of you texting me, if I got my phone in front of me. Because you're important. You're important to this body. You encourage me. You bring a supply for me. When you show up here on Sunday morning, that's an encouragement to me. It's supply. You bring a supply to... Man, when I told you to greet one another, I didn't think you were going to take 20 minutes. I'm going to have to say, greet one another, but watch the countdown. I did that once with the church I grew up in, a Baptist church. I was preaching there twice a month while they were looking for a pastor. And they would have a time where they would say, well, greet one another. It got to the point where I did put a countdown on there, and when it hit zero, the countdown was like, walk, walk, walk. Otherwise, they would have kept going. But anyway, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. You got to do your share. I got to do my share. Every part does its share. And what's that do? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Causes growth of the body that's here, and I believe it causes growth numerically. And we'll talk about that when I get to Acts chapter 2. So we have a resolution, an idea that leads to resolve, a plan which should prompt us to action. Now, we all have heard over since November, and even before November, but since November, after the election, that President Trump has been given a mandate from the American people. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who got elected. Whoever's sitting in office, if it would have been Kamala Harris, she would have had a mandate from the American people. That's what people would have said. So if you're elected into a position, you've been given a mandate because you won, you had the most votes by the people of the United States. So it really doesn't matter. But a mandate or an official order, a commission, is expected to be carried out by the person who received that mandate. There's a lot of expectation on our government over these next 4 years. Will he be able to fulfill everything? Come on. No, it's not going to happen. But there's a mandate. And you know what? We as believers have been given a mandate. And it comes from the Word of God. And what's the Word of God say? It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's a mandate. You've been commissioned to do that. You've been told this is what you're to do. If we believe the Bible, this is what we've been commanded to do. It says to go in all the world and preach the gospel. That's a mandate. It says to lay hands on the sick. That's a mandate. If we say we follow God, we're in the family, he's our leader, then we are to follow exactly what he says. And he's given us a mandate for those things. He's given us the mandate to be, like I said earlier, ambassadors, to go into all the world, to represent him, not represent our own interests. A lot of times when we come into a situation, we can say, well, what I would do there, well, if you're an ambassador for Christ, you can't say, well, here's what I would do. You have to do what his word says that you should do. And we have a mandate to live by faith. The Bible says in five different places that the just believers, shall live by faith. Are we walking by faith? Are we believing God for something every day? Miss Dorothy's not here right now. She's over in Indiana. But there's something, I got to talk to a few people. We may be making a caravan. Anyway, she's over there. But she told me one day, she says, I'm believing God every day for something. I'm exercising my faith every day for something. And she does. I got two phone calls from her yesterday. I love it. You know, she's exercising her faith. She has a friend that's over here in the hospital. Once wanted me to pray for her. So I prayed for her. We got to talking about it a little bit. And then she called me later on. And she said, oh, well, I was just talking to my friend at the hospital. I was encouraging her. I was praying for her. She was bringing her supply from Indiana back to Mattoon by way of phone calls, text messages, whatever it may be. She was bringing her supply. She was doing her share. What she's been equipped to do, the work of the ministry, she was doing what she was supposed to do. I don't care what situation we find ourselves in, what work environment we find ourselves in. I've said it before. I worked for the Department of Corrections for 26 years. First 3 years, I felt it was my job to make their lives as miserable as possible because of the way they treated me. And then God said, stop it. He said, I died for them just like I died for you. Well, I knew what line I couldn't cross. There's a line that you can't cross between officer and inmate, but I also knew what I could do and what I could say. And so I brought my supply to the prison there. And when I brought my supply to the prison, people recognized that. They noticed that. And they came to me when they were going through hard times. Not that I had the answers, because I didn't, but I knew who did. In James chapter 2, we might get through this sermon today. We may not. It may have to wait two more weeks. But in James chapter 2, starting with verse 14, we're talking about the just shall live by faith. We're talking about resolutions with resolve that point us to action. And so it says here in James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? We talked about that a little bit earlier here. We can talk about resolutions. We can talk about the plans that we're making with regards to those resolutions. But if you don't do anything about the resolution and the plan and put it into action, what good is it? It's good for nothing. Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or any clothing. What good does that do? We've seen it before. We've seen people, man, we were in Oklahoma. There was somebody standing on every street corner with a sign. Out here, Walmart, people standing on the corner with signs. I believe we need to be led in some instances. But you know what? If the Holy Spirit is saying, give them something, a bottle of water. When they have a sign that says, anything helps, okay, here's a bottle of water. That should help. I'm not saying you have to give money and everything to every person you pass by that's standing on a street corner, but be led. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. If your resolution and your plan doesn't drive you to action, then it's dead and it's useless. Now, we talked about seeking God in regards to our plans and resolutions. Looking at Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 5. When it comes to the resolutions, when it comes to your New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, whatever. Oh, by the way, Quitter's Friday was this last Friday. So just so you know, the second Friday in January is known as Quitter's Friday. So if you made a resolution, most people quit by the second Friday in January. So if you quit, you're in a good crowd. Anyway, but we don't want to quit. We're not quitters. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So when it comes to resolutions, when it comes to plans, when it comes to anything that you believe that God's that you're wanting to do, make sure you seek God on it first. Make sure that you consult him. Because we can make plans. Well, I'm going to go to, well, I've told you, Carrie and I, we're tentatively making plans right now. We're seeking God, going to the state of Maine next September. And never been to Maine before. I've said it before. I've never had lobster before. I want to go out on the boat, pull the pots up out of the ocean myself, pick my lobster out of the pot, travel back into the dock, throw it into a boiling pot on the dock, have them put it on my plate, and that's the way I want lobster the first time. I don't want it traveling across the country, even though it's still alive and all this stuff. I want it on the dock, and I may not even like it, but that's the way I'm going to try it for the first time. If the Lord wills, I seek him first. He may say, Rick, that money that you've saved up to go to Maine this next year, give it to this person. And I'm going to say, okay. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you the path to take. He'll show you the plan of action, the step that you're to take. And then we act upon it. In James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. It says, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. Sounds good, right? Go-getter, full of energy, on fire, going to grow this business. We're going to go to this town here. We're going to make a profit. How do you know what your life will be tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, or if it's his will, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans. See what I put together? Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And all such boasting is evil. Oh, so any plans that we make outside, as a believer, make outside of the will of God and without consulting him first is what? Kind of says it's evil. Yikes. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. The Word of God tells us, as believers, what we ought to do. Are we perfect at it? All perfect people, raise their hand. Whew. Okay. We don't always get it right. But in 1 John 1, 9, what's it say? He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So he takes care of that aspect of it too. But we don't always get it right. But if we've been instructed, going back to Ephesians 4, we've been equipped for the work of the ministry. We've been encouraged. And it tells us to bring our supply and do the things that the Word of God is telling us to do. And we don't do it. It's sin. When you don't do what the Word of God says, it's sin. Now, don't feel condemned. Because once again, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But when you recognize that you're not doing what the Word of God says, repent, which means go a different direction, and start doing what the Word of God says. So we want to talk about mandates, but what's the first step? Well, the first step is seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord. I mean, I know there's a business owner in the room here, at least one. I've been a business owner. Did I always seek the Lord at the beginning of the year? Lord, what do you got for us this year? I'm not going to make a move unless you tell me to. I finished reading a book, Letourneau. Anybody ever heard of Letourneau? He's a big earth mover. Komatsu bought out all of his equipment and things like that. He was over in Peoria for a number of years, my uncle. If a Pruitt can't do it, it can't be done. My mom's last name was Pruitt. It was kind of the slogan at the business over there. But he was a guy who said that he was in business with God. Whatever God said to do, that's what he did with his business. Now, he did mention in his book a couple of times that he went out on his own without consulting God first. But then he realized it and come backtracked and said, "Ah, okay, God, let me clean that up." There's also a guy who lived on 10% of his income and gave away 90% of his income. When he died in his will, his kids didn't get a stack of money. That money went to other things, other organizations, colleges that he started, and all these different things. But he got to seek the will of God first when it comes to your life, when it comes to this year, when it comes to this year for this church. So in other words, we got to seek his will in all that we do. Whatever step we take, we got to say, okay, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Does it line up with your word? And I believe that if you're a business owner, but in your life in general, if you take steps that line up with the word of God, you can't fail. The Bible says, and he will direct your paths. Well, if he's directing your paths, that's a path of victory. That's a path of success. That's a path of winning every time. It may look like you're going through a storm from time to time, because the Bible says you will encounter trials in your life as a believer. Well, people in general, but he's talking about believers in James chapter 1, but it's still a path to victory. In Proverbs chapter 21, in verse 5, good planning. I'm going to insert a couple of words here. These next two words aren't in the text, but I'm going to insert them. Good planning with God and hard work lead to prosperity. But hasty shortcuts, your own ideas, your own way of doing things, the easy way, the shortcut leads to poverty. Now, when you think of poverty, a lot of people think financial. No, poverty can mean a lot of things in your life, emotionally, relationally, all kinds of different things. It can lead to poverty in all kinds of different areas. But if we don't seek and act, if we don't seek and act on what God's called us to do, we can aim at nothing and hit it every time. We can hit it every time. But if we're seeking God and what we should do, we got something to aim at, and we'll hit that every time as well. But we don't want to aim and without seeking God first. You know, we look, where's his plan at? His plan is in his word. So we have to pray, you know, God, where are you taking us this year? Don't just float in 2025 and just go to work every day, wake up, drink, like my dad, your 8 cups of coffee before you leave to work in the mornings. From 3:30 in the morning till 6:30 in the morning. Remember those old percolators that had the little glass thing on the top? And whenever you were done drinking your coffee, coffee grounds were in the bottom of the cup too. Yeah, he drank that whole pot before he would go to work in a 3-hour period every morning. Now, he didn't drink coffee the rest of the day, but he did that every morning. But we don't want to float through 2025 doing the same thing every single day. God, where do you want to take me this year? What do you want me to do this year? We don't want to leave God out of the equation when it comes to path making for our lives. So where's he taking Life Point this year? That's a question I ask myself. Where is he taking Life Point Church this year? You know, I believe he's taking, when I say Life Point, where's he taking Life Point this year? Not just me. I believe he's taking us places that are going to require sacrifice. Ooh. There was a time when I didn't like that word. But it's going to require sacrifice. We may have to sacrifice some of our time. We may have to sacrifice some of our resources. Now, resources isn't necessarily just money. I saw an individual park. I can see outside in the parking lot right here. I saw an individual pull into the parking lot just a few minutes ago with a white pickup truck pulling a trailer. That's a resource. That's a resource. That's something that he's going to have to go out there, maybe sacrifice, hooking that thing up in the cold, getting it on his truck, dragging it all the way from I was going to say Charleston, but maybe he didn't want people to know where he lives. Anyway, he lives at Charleston, and his address is... Drag it all the way over here, load up all the stuff that we're going to load up, haul it all the way back, unload all the stuff that's in the trailer, and put the trailer back where it goes. The stuff that's back here in the fellowship hall, those are his resources. The little choir singers with the songbooks and all that, those are resources. We may have to sacrifice in our resources. Giving. We may have to sacrifice our comfort zones. Oh, but I'm not outgoing. I'm not a people person. I don't know very many people. We may have to get out of our comfort zones to be a people person. You might say you're not a people person, but God can stir something on the inside of you that comes up outside out of you to where, boom, I've got a son-in-law who's very quiet. I know how to talk to him because I know what he likes. And I feel like I can carry a conversation with anybody, even if I don't know what I'm talking about. I can still carry that conversation. But I saw him, he's a school teacher. I saw him the other day, we're at the basketball game. Kids were coming up to him, adults were coming up to him, and I saw that when they began to talk to him, something rose out of the inside of him, and he was able to communicate with those people. Whereas in times past, he's like, just not me. I'm not outgoing. I had somebody tell me that one time. Don't anybody get offended. I'm not trying to be mean. Because I actually said it to myself one time. You need to get over yourself. I had to tell myself, Rick, you need to get over yourself. But I was shy. Till I was 32 years old, I wouldn't carry a conversation. Carrie and I were married, and she had to carry all the conversations. She did all the talking. Not anymore. She would talk. I'd be behind her, and I'd pop out, say something every once in a while, and then get back behind her. Let her do all the talking. As a little kid, 5 years old, I would hide underneath the kitchen table till the company left, and then I would come out. I was shy. Rick, get over yourself. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And shyness isn't a part of it. Your comfort zone is not a part of it. Now, it's not to say that you can't, you know, sometimes you need to disengage from people. Sometimes you need a break. But we're called to love God and to love people. And if you love people, you're going to interact with people. He may be asking us to get out of our routines. How many people have a routine Monday through Friday? I do. I've got a routine. But what if he says, get up at Now, I know somebody in the room does get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so this really doesn't apply. But what if he says, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, get your stuff together, drink your 8 cups of coffee, have your donut, have your bagel, have your banana, whatever you eat in the morning, your egg over easy or sunny side up. Have that at about 3:30 or 4, because I want you on the road at 5 to see this person at 6. Are we willing to adjust our routines? Because I believe that as we see the finish line, we all said earlier we believe that Jesus is coming back soon. When we see that finish line, some adjustments might need to be made. Some sacrifices might need to be made. If it is our desire to share the kingdom of God with people. And if it is, it's going to require some sacrifice. And I believe here at LifePoint, we're going to be a part of a revival that's going to take place in this community and the surrounding communities. But it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require you. And I know that there are some seasoned veterans in the room. And you know what? You don't have to be a seasoned veteran. If you know Jesus, you got something to share. You've got a supply to bring. But we must be resolute. Something to do, not do. Resolve, have a plan, and then action needs to be a part of that. Now, we've been saying in the bulletin the last few weeks that we'll discuss things that LifePoint will be involved in this next year. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 25. And this is going to be a passage that's going to kind of be a guide for what's going to happen this year and that we all get to be a part of. Because if we see the finish line coming, we all need to be a part of running the race. In Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31, it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' But then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?'" Fair question. "Then the king will return to those on the..." And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply to the Lord, 'When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. We're going to get into part two in 2 weeks. And part two is going to list the things, the direction that Life Point Church is going this next year. And one of the ministries, I'll say this, one of the ministries that we're going to have, it's going to be called Least of These. Least of These Ministries. Because I believe, as we were talking earlier, that you can say you have faith. But if you don't do something about it, if there's no action to follow that up, then it's dead. When you didn't do it unto the least of these, you didn't do it to me. No guilt trips. I had something happen here the other day where I'm driving and I saw a guy walking down the road, 12th Street, I think it is, it comes down through over here. He had on like a little windbreaker type of coat. It was cold out. I don't know where he was going. And the thought came to me, stop and see if he needs a ride. I kept on driving. I didn't go back. Was that thought something in my head, or was it the Holy Spirit speaking to me? I don't care. It was looking to help someone, so I should have responded. No guilt trip. God wasn't trying to guilt me or condemn me or anything. I said, okay, we'll fix that. So yesterday, I'm driving home over here. A car comes around the corner on Champagne and 13th, takes the corner a little bit too fast. He's buried in snow. And so I see him walking out, but he starts walking down the street and he goes to turn the corner. And I thought, well, I don't know where he's going, but his car's still stuck there. So I went back there and I stood in my garage door and I just watched him. Next thing I see him and another guy walking around over to the car, and they got shovels, and they're trying to shovel this thing out. They probably could have eventually. Well, I drove my little Ford Explorer over there. Has two little orange places on the front of the car where you can hook tow straps. Pulled that bad boy right up in front. We hooked a tow strap to it, hooked it to his car. First time I got to use the towing part, my four-wheel drive in my car, and I'm on snow. Flipped that bad boy into four-wheel drive, backed up, pulled him right up out of that drift. When you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. He needed help. That was somebody in need, somebody who needed help. And so we got him up out of there, got it unhooked, and he says, oh, man, God bless you. That opened the door for a conversation that we had. And let him know, hey, we're the pastors of Life Point Church. If you don't go, come on down. We'd love to have you. I'm always looking for an opportunity to invite people to church, too, just so you know. But our faith without works is dead. So what I'm trying to do, going clear back now to the beginning in Ephesians 4, the pastor's job is to equip the people for the work of the ministry. We've been talking about work of ministry here this morning. Went over a number of verses about the work of the ministry here this morning. That word was read. It was spoken. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. You receive that. You meditate on that. You mull that over. You think about it, think about it, think about it. And when times come, when you're able to put that into practice, then faith rises up in you and you walk it out. You say, hey, I can pull that guy up out of a ditch. I can help that guy or that girl. I can help make, I can babysit, I can do whatever it may be. Because when you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it to him. So we're going to land this plane now. I want to encourage you, and that's the second part of Ephesians 4:11, that we're to encourage the people. I want to encourage you this year. Whatever you have going on personally, that you've sought God, number one. In that. And look for him to direct your path. Look for him to show you ways to go. Look for him to show you better ways to study his word. or study your subjects in college. Look to Him. The best time, the studying the Word of God when I'm the most awake. Seek His direction in every area of your life. And then when it comes to life point, when I lay out the plan, not this next week, but the week after that, as to what we're going to be doing here at Life Point. And I'm not saying that you have to be involved in every single one of these things. There's not a lot. There's maybe, I think, three or four things. But what you can put your hand to, what you can activate your faith and be a part of to bring your supply to that situation there, I'm going to encourage you to put your hand to it. I'm going to encourage you that if you're not normally an outgoing person, or maybe you are too outgoing, maybe we need to rein it in just a little bit to give other people a chance, whatever it may be, it may require us to do something different than what we've been doing. I believe He wants us to take the car out of idle, put it in drive. And for those of you who in the natural like to drive fast, any fast drivers in the room? Oh, I saw a few hands go up. Hands are going up everywhere. Yikes. He's wanting us to accelerate. I know that God has spoken to some of you individually with regards to a kingdom work. And He's telling you to accelerate. He's telling you, well, get busy. Put it in drive. The finish line is right there. Race across it. When you see a runner go across the finish line, he's not running like this. He's leaning across. I got to be the first one across. He's asking us to run in that way. So whatever He's got you going on doing personally in your life, things that you've sought Him for, do it. Don't talk about it. Don't make plans. Actually do it. And then the same thing here at Life Point. There's going to be things going on here. And I can't do it myself. I won't do it myself. But I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to bring my supply. And I know that working together, I had something I was going to do here this morning, but we ran out of time. Maybe next time. But working together, we're going to get a lot done for the kingdom of God. Father, I just thank You for this morning here. I thank You for Your word. I thank You that it's true. I thank You for the precious people that You've placed in this body and those that aren't here this morning, Father, but may be watching online. You have a plan and a purpose for their lives individually. Whether it's their physical need or whether it's the spiritual that You have a plan for them. Your word says that as long as we're trusting in You with our whole heart, that You're going to direct the paths. You're going to show us what to go. You're going to show us what the step is that we should take to get the job done. And Father, we know that as we lean on You, there's nothing we can't do. Because nothing is impossible for You.